Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. We started making yogurt as a way to fund an organic farming school, and 28 years later, our mission is still all about healthy food, healthy people, and a healthy planet. Today, we support 200,000 acres of organic family farms, and we give 10% of our profits to efforts that protect and restore the earth. So we're proud to support thoughtful programming like Living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at LOE.org.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Kellerman. The numbers are grim and the news is worse. We've got 5 years or else. That according to the International Energy Agency, which reports if we don't dramatically cut emissions of greenhouse gases by 2017, we face irreversible, catastrophic climate change. That dire prediction comes on the release of the latest figures showing the amount of climate-changing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is up, way up, 6% just last year. That's the largest increase ever recorded. In fact, it's even worse than the worst-case scenario considered by UN climate scientists. Tom Bowden compiled the CO2 numbers. He's director of the Department of Energy's Carbon Dioxide Information Analysis Center.
Well, from 2009 to 2010 marks the first year ever since 1751 that we've exceeded 9 billion tons of carbon released to the atmosphere from the consumption of fossil fuels. The 6% increase that we saw from 2009 to 2010 also represents the largest single jump that we have ever seen. And we've been doing this now for about 25 years and constitutes about a half a billion ton increase. So it's quite noteworthy.
You know, these are numbers. When you think about it, is there a way of visualizing it, giving me an image of what we're talking about here?
Well, let me try to equate it to this. Most of us can remember back in 1991 when Kuwait was invaded and many of those oil rigs were set ablaze. The Kuwaiti oil fires resulted in a release of about 130 million metric tons, which is on a par with Canada's annual emissions. So think of that as something of almost four times that magnitude of all of those oil rigs ablaze and continuously spewing carbon into the atmosphere.
But I thought that the global economic recession was slowing the emission of greenhouse gases in general and carbon dioxide in specifically.
Well, that's true, but at least from an emissions standpoint, from a fossil fuel consumption standpoint, all indications are that the global financial crisis is over. And you can clearly see countries that were impacted by the crisis and those that weren't. The U.S. was one where, you know, we did feel the impacts of the financial crisis. Emissions dropped in 2009, but rebounded in 2010. Other countries like China seemed to show no impact whatsoever from the global financial crisis, and emissions just continue to soar. Half of that roughly 500 million ton increase came from China alone, and the remainder came from mostly Asian countries, India, for example. And again, in the case of those two countries, they're countries that have very large populations, growing economies. And they're also sitting on, you know, large reserves of coal that they are using to meet their growing energy demands.
So when you measure the worldwide atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide, you measure it in ppm, parts per million, right?
That's correct. And we have atmospheric concentration measurements that date back to the late 1950s. And those concentrations show us, those measurements show us that levels of CO2 in the atmosphere have risen from about 315 parts per million to 390 parts per million presently. And certainly, the reason for that rise in atmospheric CO2 is due to fossil fuel consumption.
There's some climate activists who say, you know, at 350, if we go over that KD bar, the door, that we've reached a tipping point and we need to stay around 350, and you're saying we're up to 390 parts per million.
That's correct.
So are we at a tipping point? Have we gone past that?
The emission scenarios that were used in the last IPCC scientific assessment
Those are the UN science studies.
That's exactly right. The emission scenarios that were used, the trajectory that we're currently on, exceeds some of the most pessimistic of those emission scenarios. And in those scenarios, the model continued to show something on an order of 3 to 5 degrees Celsius global warming. We're on a emissions trajectory that this is not business as usual.
You know, I'm listening to you and I'm wondering, what do we do?
What I tell my children is that we are conducting an experiment with Mother Earth. We don't know the outcome, but certainly human beings are perturbing the atmosphere, the planet that we live on. Some of my kids are alarmed. My youngest one worries about the polar bears and whether they're going to be around. The good news is it's a longer-term problem. I think we need to wean ourselves off of fossil fuels. We need to explore alternative energy forms. We need to conserve where we can. We need to look at things like mass transportation. The old adage of think globally, act locally would be my advice. I think, you know, if we all try to be less fossil fuel consumptive in our personal lives, that hopefully it'll have an impact as we try to find bigger solutions down the road.
We've been talking about the dramatic growth in CO2 emissions worldwide with Tom Bowden. Mr. Bowden is director of the Department of Energy's Carbon Dioxide Information Analysis Center at the Oak Ridge National Lab. Well, Mr. Tom Bowden, thank you so very much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.